Hello, and welcome to A Course in Miracles for Regular People. I'm your host, Reverend Robin. In this podcast, we read and discuss the text of A Course in Miracles. I also have another podcast that is reading and discussing the daily workbook lessons. That one is called A Course in Miracles Daily Workbook Lessons for Regular People. I love talking with people about A Course in Miracles and the daily lessons, and I welcome interaction and feedback. There are several ways you can reach out to me if you'd like to chat. I'm on Twitter at ACIMFOR. I have a Facebook page called A Course in Miracles for Regular People. You can email me at ACIMFRP, that's A Course in Miracles for Regular People, ACIMFRP@gmail.com. Or you can simply go to anchor.fm and leave me a voice message. Actually, you can also make donations on Anchor if you'd like to support this podcast, and I'd really appreciate that. Now let's get started with today's episode. Hello, and welcome to episode number 94. Today we'll be continuing in Chapter 4, Illusions of the Ego, and Section 7, Creation and Communication, and this is the third part of that section. Before we jump into the text for today's episode, let's review from last episode, number 93. I had three takeaways, and they were number one, existence and being both depend on communication. If we exist in the physical, we communicate with others who exist in the physical. In the spirit, there is constant, true communication. Number two, the difference is that the physical is very specific in communication, who it communicates with, how it communicates, and what it communicates about. But spirit is very abstract. There is no discrimination between quote-unquote individuals, so any communication is between everyone and everything simultaneously. Number three, God, who encompasses all being, created beings who have everything individually, but who want to share it to increase their joy. Nothing real can be increased except by sharing. Picking up at paragraph 6, the Bible repeatedly states that you should praise God. This hardly means that you should tell him how wonderful he is. He has no ego with which to accept such praise, and no perception with which to judge it. But unless you take your part in the creation, his joy is not complete, because yours is incomplete. And this he does know. He knows in his own being and its experience of his experience, of his son's experience. The constant going out of his love is blocked when his channels are closed, and he is lonely when the minds he created do not communicate fully with him. Some of that paragraph didn't make a whole lot of sense to me because it seems to contradict so much of what else the Course talks about. The first two sentences make perfect sense, even if they contradict traditional Christian teaching. It says, the Bible repeatedly says that you should praise God. This hardly means that you should tell him how wonderful he is, because God has no ego with which to accept those kinds of praises and no perception with which to judge them. Now here's where it gets funky to me. It says, but unless you take your part in the creation, his joy is not complete because yours is incomplete. And this he does know. He knows in his own being and its experience of his son's experience. The constant going out of his love is blocked when his channels, our minds, are closed. And he is lonely when the minds he created do not communicate fully with him. So, yeah, all of that seems to contradict the whole idea of God knowing that we're in his mind eternally, that we have never really split ourselves off from him and each other. So if the truth, capital T, is that this is all a dream and creation continues as if nothing ever happened because nothing ever did, then how is God lonely? How is his love blocked? I know I read somewhere about creation continuing even though we think we split ourselves off, but I didn't remember where. So I asked a Facebook group, and someone answered with a link to acim.org. where after the manual for teachers, there's a section called clarification of terms. The first section is mind-spirit. And in the fourth paragraph, it says, spirit retains the potential for creating, but its will, capital W, which is God's, excuse me, seems to be imprisoned while the mind is not unified. Creation continues unabated because that is the will, capital W, of God. This will, capital W, is always unified and therefore has no meaning in this world. It has no opposite and no degrees. So, having said all of that, quote-unquote praising God isn't speaking wonderful things about him to him or even to others. Praising God is being who and what we really are and experiencing our oneness with him and each other, allowing his love to flow to us and receiving it and then allowing it to flow through us to others. Paragraph 7. God has kept your kingdom for you, but he cannot share his joy with you until you know it with your whole mind. Revelation is not enough, because it's only communication from God. God does not need revelation returned to him, which would clearly be impossible, but he does want it brought to others. This cannot be done with the actual revelation. Its content cannot be expressed because it's intensely personal to the mind that receives it. It can, however, be returned by that mind to other minds through the attitudes that the knowledge from the revelation brings. So, starting over with that paragraph, God has kept your kingdom for you, but he cannot share his joy with you until you know it with your whole mind. So while we believe that we are in these physical bodies, our minds are split, and part of our mind is closed off to knowing the full truth of who and what we are. Continuing, revelation is not enough, because it's only communication from God. God does not need revelation returned to him. Revelation implies understanding something not previously understood and having something quote-unquote revealed to you. Continuing, so God does not need revelation returned to him, which would clearly be impossible, but he does want it, that revelation, brought to others. This cannot be done with the actual revelation itself. Its content cannot be expressed because it's intensely personal to the mind that receives it. It can, however, be returned by that mind to other minds through attitudes that the knowledge from the revelation brings. So when I receive a revelation from God, I can't actually give it to you because it was for me personally. And even if I try to share it with you, you don't get the full impact of it because it wasn't spoken to you personally. So the best thing that I can do is to live out that revelation and to be an example of it to you, which hopefully will help you to open your mind to receive your own revelation from the Holy Spirit. Paragraph 8. Now, in this paragraph, we are actually given the explanation of what praising God really is. So, God is praised whenever any mind learns to be wholly helpful. This is impossible without being wholly harmless, because the two beliefs must coexist. The truly helpful are invulnerable, because they are not protecting their egos, and so nothing can hurt them. Their helpfulness is their praise of God, and he will return their praise of him because they are like him, and they can rejoice together. God goes out to them and through them, and there is great joy throughout the kingdom. Every mind that is changed adds to this joy with its individual willingness to share in it. The truly helpful are God's miracle workers, whom I direct until we are all united in the joy of the kingdom. I will direct you to wherever you can be truly helpful and to whoever can follow my guidance through you. So God is praised whenever any mind learns to be wholly helpful. That is, when someone has received a revelation and is living it out as an example to others. Continuing, so this being wholly helpful is impossible without being wholly harmless, because the two beliefs must coexist. Being harmful is not being helpful. So if we're not completely harmless, we can't be completely helpful. Continuing, the truly helpful are invulnerable because they're not protecting their egos, and so nothing can hurt them. The only thing that can be hurt is the ego. So if we stop trying to protect the ego, we can't be hurt. Continuing, their helpfulness is their praise of God, and he will return their praise of him because they are like him and they can rejoice together. In episode 92, we learned that only beings of a like order can truly communicate. So that's why we can communicate with God, because we're the same type of being. Continuing, God goes out to them, those who are helpful and not harmful, and through them, and there is a great joy throughout the kingdom. Because of that open communication, there's great joy. Continuing, every mind that is changed adds to this joy with its individual willingness to share it, to share in it. So when we remember who and what we are, and we really get it, then we are willing to share in the joy that is the kingdom and the communication too. Continuing, the truly helpful are God's miracle workers, whom I direct until we are all united in the joy of the kingdom. I will direct you to wherever you can be truly helpful and to whoever can follow my guidance through you. So to be truly helpful is to be truly harmless. And I love it that we'll be directed to those who can receive Jesus' guidance through us. That's the end of that chapter, that section in that chapter. Some of you may get that. So the takeaways from episode 94. Number one, God has no ego to receive words of praise, nor does he have the capability to judge whether or not that praise is good enough for him. Number two, the act of praising God is living the revelations we've received so that others can learn by our example and open their minds to receive their own revelations. And number three, God is praised whenever any mind learns to be completely helpful. And that is what happens when we receive and live the revelations that we have received. My takeaway from this section, all of section 7, real creation is direct communication with God. When we communicate with God, creation is what happens. And since this is the end of chapter 4, I have pulled together some takeaways for the whole chapter. Chapter 4's title is The Illusions of the Ego. And it was really tough to like narrow this down to, I picked 5. There are over 20 sections, 20 episodes in chapter 4. So there's a lot of material in here. So I narrowed it down to these 5 takeaways for the whole of chapter 4. Number 1 came from episode number 79. How we respond to our ego is not important. What is important is what we believe we are. If we believe we're a body, we're operating from the ego. If we know we're spirit, we're operating from spirit. Number 2 is from episode number 80. Body appetites are not physical in origin. They are, quote-unquote, getting mechanisms that the ego causes to reaffirm its own existence. The ego thinks that if I can get stuff, it means that I'm real. Number three came from episode number 87. Whatever we struggle with, know that this need not be. It's just an illusion of your ego. Number four is from the takeaway from section five. To undo the ego's best laid plans, always ask this question. What is this situation for? We can deal with situations from the ego viewpoint of being a victim and being alone and separate, or we can look at it from God's point of view, that it is a situation that is allowing the Holy Spirit to teach us, to lead us back to God. And my last takeaway from all of chapter 4 came from section 7. Real creation is direct communication with God. When we communicate with God, creation is what happens. Communication with the ego makes illusions. Communication with God creates reality. Was a lot of takeaways from this chapter, Illusions of the Ego, and the last section, Creation and Communication. So this week, I wish you a week of discernment between the illusions of the ego and communication with God. Many blessings. Namaste.